anything and everything.
Do you ever wonder how to? Do you ever wonder why?
About anything and everything. Then Doris is your guy. Anything and everything will open your mind. Anything and everything with Doris. Anything and everything with Doris is online. Remember.
Remember.
Anything and everything with Doris.
Hello, everyone. I hope y'all had a blessed week. We had a rainy weekend, which was a little irritating because G-Pop wanted to teach the grandsons how to camp. And went out and bought this tent set with came with sleeping bags and chairs and the works, right? Little Jonathan came. He showed up. He wanted to do it no matter what. So we have a wooded area behind our house. And so it was like camping in the woods, but you could run in and go to the restroom if you needed to or whatever they wanted to do. So he wanted to learn how to rough it. For the most part, they did. And then Sunday morning, we took him out to breakfast at Cafe Du Monde at the Riverwalk and ran over to the Sportsman Show in the Superdome. Which is really funny. The whole time I was in New Orleans, I was thinking, I just told everybody how I stay out of New Orleans. And I hadn't been there in such a long time. And here I am. But I didn't mind, you know, my husband was with us. And we left about 2 or 3. So my grandson just loved the Sportsman Show. They were giving him so much stuff. You know, they like to give out hats and cups and ink pens and all kinds of crazy stuff. And so he even got a Frisbee. I mean, he racked up. He must have left with like three bags full of stuff. It was like trick-or-treating, but you didn't get candy. Although they did have some candy they were handing out too. And Paul won his first prize ever. He won a fish fry basket. However, we had already left when they called and we weren't going back. You know, I hope they were able to give it away to someone else who was there, especially someone who might not have been from here. They would love that. So I really hope someone was able to make use out of it. I hope they did give it away. And we went out to eat at Piccadilly, and right next door, T-Mobile was giving away free book bags for children, and they had a little bit of school supplies in them. So he wanted to go grab him one, so we did. And he was so sweet, he asked for one for his sister. You know, nothing fancy, but they were nice. You know, they were nice. He got to pick out whatever one he wanted. So that was sweet. That was T-Mobile on Clearview. So thank you, guys. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about is something that women do. We all love to do it, and we bring our daughters into this ritual too. And that is nail polish. We love getting our nails done. I wasn't real big on going to the salon though. I used to have every color and I would buy the little ribbon that you put on there and the little gemstones. And I enjoyed doing it myself. And you could put little sticker designs on them or tattoos or whatever they're called. I mean, I had a whole kit, like 3 or 4 drawers full of nail polish stuff. You name it, I had it. And I've been doing that. Well, I was doing that ever since I was probably 10 years old. There was a neighbor who was moving out of her mom and dad's house and getting rid of a lot of her stuff because she was getting married. And that's how I got hooked on nail polish. And I really admired her. I wanted to grow up and be just like her. And that's how I got hooked on it from another girl, right? That's what we do. We love feeling pretty and doing our nails. Get to match it with your clothes. Or the holiday. It's just a ritual that most of us like to do. And then when I had a daughter, I finally got a daughter out of baby number 4. And I think she was about maybe 6 or 7 when I started doing her nails because she wanted to do hers too. I didn't see the harm in it. And now she likes going to the salon and she has 2 daughters and 1 is 8. So she brings her 8-year-old with her sometimes. years. Gracie is a little too young, so thank goodness she's not doing that yet. And I used to buy nail polish kits for my other granddaughters for Christmas. I mean, it's just something we love to do. Whether we're doing it ourselves or going to the salon getting pampered, most of us like doing that. I quit doing this probably about 4 or 5 years ago when I got into holistic health. And the funny thing is, before I got into holistic health, I was into traditional medicine. And when I was working in doctor's offices, even when I went to school for my training, nobody said, oh, you shouldn't get your nails done. It's not healthy. But they did say, look, don't wear false nails and don't wear polish to work. If that's something you want to do, do it on the weekend. Don't wear that stuff around the patients, blah, blah, blah. And they had all their good reasons for it, but they never said, don't do it yourself, period. When I got into holistic health and started working in that area, I learned, no, girl, don't do that, period. It's very dangerous. And I was like, yeah, everything's dangerous, you know? But I started thinking about it. And ever since I was a little girl and I would get out my nail polish, I would get migraines. I'd start getting these really bad migraines, but I didn't care. I wanted to get the nails done. You know, we would open the window, the door, we vented it, but I would still get these headaches, right? Why didn't I correlate that to, if it's making me sick, it's probably toxic? But in my case, a lot of things gave me migraines. So I guess that might be one of the reasons why I didn't really correlate it like that. I was one of these people that I get migraines for almost every reason. It wasn't until I got into holistic medicine that I learned that if you're getting migraines, it's a symptom. It's a warning sign saying stop doing whatever it is you're doing. But I got it so often, it was hard for me to pinpoint. So once I started pinpointing the triggers, I no longer get migraines. And if I do feel one coming on, because sometimes you might be somewhere and you can't control it, right? You can't control what you're smelling or whatever the trigger is. But I learned that I can use some peppermint oil and get rid of it really quick. Well, actually stop it before it starts, because once you start getting a lot of migraines, you can feel them coming on anyway. So you can usually nip it in the bud before it gets really bad. I no longer need medicine for it. I just grab some peppermint oil. I went to say all that because it's like a light bulb should always go off in our head when we're doing something and we get a migraine or we start sneezing or if our throat starts irritating, whatever that is, we need to say, wait, what's going on here? Because this isn't healthy. And it might not be deadly, but if it's an irritant, you really want to stay away from it, right? Well, I'm here to tell you, nail polish and remover and all that fun stuff we like to do is dangerous, way more than we ever thought. And so I'm here to let you know why, especially young girls and teenagers, should not be doing this. Now, one of the things that y'all already know is that our skin is our largest organ. And we have to be careful what we apply to it. So when we topically apply lotions, medicine, soaps, perfume, these products penetrate our systemic circulation and enter our tissues. And once it's in our system, that's where they can cause real damage to our bodies. And you would say, well, but nail polish, we're not putting it on the skin, we're putting it on a nail. However, the capillary bed in the cuticle surrounding the nail comes in contact with that. That's why we're always wiping off the side of it and gets on. You know, it's hard sometimes just to get it straight on a nail. And then there's solvents that they use that helps the nails become more absorbent. Well, that increases the effects on our system. And then let's not forget that we're breathing in those fumes, those toxins. So even though it seems harmless, using nail polish is very dangerous. Let's look at the dangers of just four of the chemicals found in nail polish. You've got formaldehyde. That's used as a preservative and it protects against microbial growth in nail polish. It's colorless, water-soluble, and highly reactive due to electrophilic properties. So in layman terms, its vacant electron-devoid orbitals steals electrons from biological molecules, altering the stability and properties of the molecules in our body. And we know it's in several industries. It's in products that we use every day, but it's also a known carcinogen to humans, and it induces changes to our respiratory tract. Studies have shown that it induces asthmatic symptoms, early Alzheimer's-like changes, and according to the Turkish Journal of Urology, formaldehyde comprises the intracellular balance and tends to combine with proteins, nucleic acids, and unsaturated fatty acids. Now that causes reactions such as allergic, inflammatory, cytotoxic, necrosis, mutagenic, and carcinogenic reactions. These effects develop denaturation in proteins and increases free oxygen radicals in our tissues and accelerates the processes of cell death. Now that's just one ingredient. The second one is toluene. Toluene is the strong odor most polishes carry. It's an industrial solvent and the most abused inhaled drug. You find it in glue, paint thinner, lacquers, industrial cleaners. The effects of these vapors have been studied by patients who have inhaled spray paint and similar substances. It's also associated with acute hepatorenal injury, rhabdomyolysis, and profound metabolic acidemia. In pregnant women, it can impair normal development of the fetus. So that odor that we can't stand that was giving me migraines impairs normal development of the fetus. Especially if you're pregnant, you might want to stay away from that stuff. It's also one of the best studied neurotoxins, which impacts the myelin of the central nervous system. The myelin sheath is a layer of fatty tissue that floods the nerve fibers similar to insulation on a wire. In doing so, it speeds up the transmission of electrical signals and is degraded by the exposure to toluene. Toluene is known to cause white matter changes and brain atrophy in the central nervous system. Abuse of toluene can produce neurological disorders similar to dementia. However, with low-level chronic exposures such as nail polish, it can trigger more subtle subclinical changes that over time pose a larger and cumulative detriment to your health. Next, you have dibutyl phthalate, or DP. This compound was incorporated into polish to help retain its color, to prevent chipping, and improve the flexibility of the polish. This mimics estrogen, which induces testicular toxicity and impairs spermatogenesis, which is the process of new sperm. It also interferes with the thyroid, leading to obesity. It disrupts fetal development. In fact, due to it being a reproductive and developmental toxicant, the European Union banned its use in cosmetics in 2004. Now, this caused companies to launch the three free polishes, which is to devoid the toxic trio that we're talking about, the formaldehyde, the toluene, and a DPB. Now, although many in-free labels began emerging, there's no standardization or formal regulations mandating which chemicals are going to be omitted. Then you got the triphenyl phosphate, or TPHP. Since phasing out DBP, it is being replaced with TPHP. This chemical is used as a plasticizer or a flame retardant. It is added to furniture and baby products under the pretense of stopping the spread of fire. It's used in nail polish for durability and flexibility. Research links TPHP to endocrine disruption, which alters our fine-tuned balance of human hormones necessary for good health. health. It also alters thyroid hormone levels, reproductive toxicity, including decreased semen. It alters metabolic function and weight gain, developmental toxicity, and damages our DNA. There are animal studies that show that triphenylphosphate may accelerate the onset of type 2 diabetes. Now, exposure to this chemical is double in women, but affects men as well. In one study, subjects provided urine samples before and after applying nail polish. Researchers found that DPHP, a byproduct of the TPHP metabolism, increased by almost sevenfold 10 to 14 hours after applying the nail polish. In 2015, the Environment International found TPHP concentrations of up to 1.68% by weight in 8 to 10 nail polishes tested. That's more disturbing because 2 of the 8 polishes failed to disclose it on their product labels. The Environmental Working Group Skin Deep, which you can go to www.ewg.org, it's a cosmetic database that discloses info on products. I love this site and I use it on a regular basis. Of the thousands of products they catalog, more than half disclose the use of TPHP. And this includes popular nail polish brands such as Sally Hansen, Revlon, Maybelline, and OPI, which was one of my favorites. The industry estimates that 97% of U.S. girls ages 12 to 14 use nail products. This makes them vulnerable during puberty for hormonal disruptions. After reading what just 4 of these chemicals do to our bodies, our reproductive organs, and everything else, I feel horrible that I was doing this to my daughter and my grandchildren. And now they're all hooked on it, and it's sad because I can't convince them to stay away from it. But the good news is that the industry is working to make it safer. Now, it also causes autoimmunity. And I'll bet we know, each of us knows at least one person that has an autoimmune condition. Right off the top of my head, I know 5. 5 people, and I'll bet I know more. But right off the top of my head, I could name 5 people that I know that live with autoimmune conditions. And it's quite common because autoimmunity plagues nearly 50 million Americans and is one of the top 10 leading causes of death in females. In the journal Rheumatology, researchers noticed strong associations between working in a setting that included nail polish applications, such as a salon, and later developing systemic lupus, or SLE, which is an autoimmune disorder affecting multiple organ systems. And people with lupus were 10.2 more likely to have worked in such areas. There have also been studies that connect associations with frequent nail polish use to the risk of PBC, or primary biliary cirrhosis, which is an autoimmune disease of the liver. In the Journal of Autoimmune Diseases, they discuss how halogenated compounds in nail polish have affinity for mitochondrial proteins, meaning the chemicals in nail polish bind to proteins within organelles of our own cells. By doing so, they are more likely to be recognized by the immune system as foreign and provoke an immune reaction. The immune system then responds by producing the anti-mitochondrial antibodies, which are typical of PBC. Phthalates contained in nail polish, as well as other cosmetics, induce autoreactivity, or an attack against itself. So could you imagine that using nail polish could be one of the reasons ladies, and I guess men, because men work in the industry as well. And if they're not painting their nails, they're managing it, that might be cleaning up in there. So could you imagine? A lot of people might have an autoimmune disease because of that. And I'm sure it's not just any one thing. But I know that my friends, a couple of them that have an autoimmune disease, were still getting their nails done and wondering why, when they were doing everything their doctor told them, why am I still suffering so much? Until I said, did you know this? And I actually gave them this information to read for themselves. They had no idea. None. Now, what are they doing? I don't know if they're going to do it. It's addictive. Getting your nails done is really addictive. If you go to the salon, they'll massage your hands. And if you're getting a pedicure, you know, they're rubbing your feet, even your legs. I mean, it feels so good. And I'll tell you what, I did go to the salon for my daughter's wedding. Not for my nails, though. I wanted to get a pedicure because I was getting this dry skin on the bottom of my feet. I was having trouble getting it off. And so she asked, what color did I want on my toes? And I almost didn't get it. And I said, well, you know, it's just this one time. It's not like I do it all the time. And so I got a really light color. It was fine. It wasn't like I do this all of the time. So I even have trouble saying no sometimes. But I tell you what happened. When she went to put the lotion on my legs, even though the lotion felt good at first, I started getting like a burning reaction. The scrub on the feet didn't bother me, but that lotion, and it smelled so good. And I'll bet you whatever was in the fragrance was probably one of the reasons that it was tingling so much. I had to get into the car and take a baby wipe and wipe it off of my legs. It was hurting so bad, which is why I normally don't go to the salon anymore. You know, I usually do my own feet at home, you know, as far as scrubbing the calluses and stuff off my feet. Remember I mentioned the In-Free nail polishes? Well, they're not toxic free. They are better than the other ones that we've been using for decades, but they are not toxic free. Due to the demand for organic products, several brands are capitalizing on the term 3-5-7 and 10 free nail polish. While this may seem great news, it also brings on a false sense of security. Companies have been known to practice what we call greenwashing, where they use certain buzzwords and they obscure advertising slogans to such as non-toxic or natural, and they're not being honest, but they also carry no legal weight. So it's not like you would be able to sue them, right? These nail polishes that are labeled 3-5-7 and 10 free often still contain toxins such as benzophenone 1, which is an endocrine disruptor with links to cancer. It is also linked to neuronal delay, congenital malformations, male infertility, and problems with behavioral development. There is also evidence of benzophenone 1 accumulating in the placenta, and that's according to the Journal of Preventative Medicine and Hygiene. These ingredients have good lipophilic properties, and after only a few hours from being applied, it is possible to detect them in the biological fluids of the mother's milk. Now, that's really scary. Even though my daughter is not bringing the baby, who's about one now, doesn't bring the baby to the salon, the fact that my daughter is getting her nails done and then goes home and breastfeeds the baby, she's still endangering the baby. Pretty scary stuff, isn't it? So the baby that you're protecting by not bringing to the salon, if you're nursing that baby, guess what? They're still getting toxins from you being at the salon. And the salon wouldn't be the only place if you really think about it. But since that's what we're talking about today, and it's something that's not really necessary, we don't need to go to the salon. You know what I mean? It's not something that we must do. We do it because we enjoy it. It makes us feel pretty. Sometimes you have to make a decision over pretty or being healthy or even protecting your loved ones from your decision of wanting to be pretty. So are there better options out there? Well, While the best alternative may be to stay away from nail polish, there are better options out there. While the industry has come a long way, it still has a long way to go. And the fact that we are pushing, you know, there's a lot of agencies out there pushing to make safer products, it is well on the way. If you aren't into the do-it-yourself nail polish, you can check out that organization, EWG.org, I told you about, before you buy polish. This is where you can find the risk of products that you use. And if you go to my blog, I have a little sample there that shows you what you can find on the nail polish. For example, I found that Zoya nail polish is considered one of the best options and green salons use it. But here's what EWG.org says about it. It has high concerns of multiple additive exposure sources, irritation of the skin, eyes, or lungs. And then that's the high concerns. Then they have the moderate concerns of contamination, and then your organ system toxicity, which would be the non-reproductive. And then there's low concerns, which would be the data gaps and the occupational hazards. Now, the ingredients in Zoya is the isopropyl alcohol, which is the irritation of the skin, eyes, or lungs, the organ system toxicity of the non-reproductive, developmental reproductive toxicity, though, okay? And then they have the acrylates copolymer, and those concerns are the use restrictions and the contamination concern. And then they give you styrene acrylates copolymer, and they have the use restrictions and contamination concerns. And there's nitrocellulose, which has the organ system toxicity, which is the non-reproductive. And then the acetyl tributyl citrate, which is multiple additive exposure sources. Then you have the butyl acetate, which is irritation again to the skin, eyes, or lungs. And the ethyl acetate, again, irritation to the skin, eyes, or lungs. Now, they give it a score of twos and ones, which would be meaning fair or limited, you know, good. So even though it is considered one of the better polishes, you still have some low risk. So I don't want you to have that false sense of security that you're going to a green salon, or because you're using Zoya or someone else that's claiming low risk. I don't want you to think that there's no risk. There's still risk involved. But I guess if I was going to do that, if I was going to go to doing my nails again, I would probably pick something like Zoya first. I've already gotten used to just keeping natural nails and feeling pretty without all that stuff. I'll deal with it. You know, if I decide, you know, I'm going to a party or a wedding and I really want to get my nails done, then I would probably do Zoya or something similar to it. But then you have to think about also the remover that we're using, you know. So think about that too. That's also dangerous for us. But like I said, if you're like me and you're not doing it every day and you want to do it every now and then, you know, it's like do it at your own risk. It's still better than if you were going to the salon using all these other brands that clearly are toxic. And when we were talking about Zoya, the last update to all their ingredients was in 2013. And so we had to search for the current ingredient list on the label. We found the ingredients at www.skinsafeproducts.com, which is another site to help you make better decisions. And here's what they told us about the current 2019 ingredient list. It still has all that stuff I gave you, but they've added the sterilconium hectorite. Now, SkinSafe rated it as 82% allergen free and a betaine safe. Here's their finding. SkinSafe has reviewed the ingredients of Zoya nail polish .0.5 ounce and found it to be 82% top allergen free and free of gluten, coconut, nickel, lanolin, paraben, MCI/MI, topical antibiotic, soy, propylene glycol, and they say that the product is teen safe. I don't know that I would call it teen safe, but I think the reason they're saying that is because it's not affecting the reproductive organs. And that's more important. If your teenager is hooked on nail polish, then please educate them on being cautious. Like OPI was one of my favorite nail polishes, and it was considered one of the most toxic. If my granddaughter said, "But Graham, we really want to do our nails. Please, please, let's do our nails." Here's what I would tell them. Okay, maybe we'll do it for the holidays, or you have something special coming up. We'll do that together. But you pick the color. I'll pick the brand. I'll find a brand that's safe. It's not going to cause reproductive problems or mitochondrial problems, because I want great-grandchildren, right? And I don't want to risk my grandchildren having sickly children. I'm really blessed that so far all of my grandchildren are pretty healthy. I think the worst we had to deal with so far was ADHD. Everyone else is pretty well. I do have a grandson that has asthma, and it makes you wonder, could it be some of the products that we were using when he was little, products that his mom uses now? You know, that's why I try to educate people, because what happens is we imitate what we know. And when I was growing up, my mom didn't use anything natural. She went to the store and she bought cleaners for everything. Everything. There was a different product for every little task she had to do around the house. Our house was really, really clean, right? At least we thought so. But when you start looking at all the toxins that she was spreading around the house, and then both my parents smoked. So it's no wonder when I got older, I would have asthma. And that's the thing. Some people might get asthma younger, and some it might take a lot more before it affects them. Like my grandson, he got asthma probably about maybe a year or 2 years old. Me, it took a lot longer, but I finally got it. So we need to really be more aware of what we're bringing into our homes. We think we're doing this great job. You know, if you walked in my mother's house, you could eat off the floors. You would never find a speck of dust. It was clean, clean, clean. Now, the one thing that my dad was adamant about was bug spray. He wanted to kill bugs naturally. He did not want poisons around his family, that we were safe because he wasn't using bug spray, which is great. I'm thankful that he was trying. But meanwhile, my mom has all these toxins going off on the air and the floor, in the laundry, you know, the bath soap, everything. So what do we do when we grow up and we get in our own place? We do the exact same thing. It wasn't until I started working in the medical industry and then the holistic side of it and learning that no wonder I have allergies. No wonder my skin breaks out at 50 plus years old. No wonder I have this. No wonder I have that. And when I started eliminating things, like even if I don't make my own shampoo all the time, I make sure I buy stuff that does not have certain chemicals in it. Because if I wash my hair, I'm going to break out. I couldn't understand why in my 30s, 40s, 50s, I was still breaking out like a teenager. Well, it wasn't for the same reasons, though. It was the toxins in the products. And when I say toxins, not all ingredients that are labeled toxins are deadly. They're not. But the reason they call them toxins is because they're irritants. Maybe one of the shampoos I was using wasn't killing me, but the fact that it was breaking me out all the time, it's an irritant. It's still a toxin to my body. And when I quit using it and finding shampoos that don't have those ingredients or making my own, guess what? I have clear skin now. I feel like an adult. So we know that its products still have ingredients in it that are not safe for the lungs or reproductive organs, but they'll still claim safe. So it's great that we have these other sites to give us information, but it's our responsibility to do the research and make our own decisions. So how would we move forward with this? Well, first, it's our duty to call our legislators and demand that Congress improve our laws that govern the regulation of cosmetics. The current statute on the books has not been updated since 1938 and only bans 11 ingredients. Meanwhile, Europe has banned over 1,300 in order to protect their citizens. As of now, cosmetic companies do not have to submit safety records. They don't have to disclose all ingredients. They don't have to report serious events. And they don't have to adopt good manufacturing practices. So you might remember in a previous podcast months ago, we talked about the FDA and what the FDA does not have the authority to do, such as to enforce the recall of personal care products that are deemed contaminated. Well, here's the site to the FDA about cosmetics. Go to www.fda.gov/cosmetics and you'll see the message that's on their own website. It says, "The law does not require cosmetic products and ingredients other than color additives to have FDA approval before they go on the market. But there are laws and regulations that apply to cosmetics on the market in interstate commerce. The two most important laws pertaining to cosmetics marketed in the United States are the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act and the Fair Packaging and Labeling Act. External link disclaimer. The FDA regulates cosmetics under the authority of these laws. In the United States, federal laws are enacted by Congress. In order to make the laws work on a day-to-day level, Congress authorizes certain government agencies, such as FDA, to create regulations. A change in FDA's legal authority over cosmetics would require Congress to change the law. Can FDA order the recall of a hazardous cosmetic from the market? Recalls of cosmetics are voluntary actions taken by manufacturers or distributors to remove from the marketplace that represent a hazardous or gross deception or that are somehow defective. The FDA is not authorized to order recalls of cosmetics, but we do monitor companies that conduct a product recall and may request a product recall if the firm is not willing to remove the dangerous product from the market without FDA's written request." Now, that's their own words. You can find that under the FDA recall policy for cosmetics. So we are behind when it comes to demanding the protection of our citizens, especially our most vulnerable, infants as well as the unborn. We must demand that harmful toxic ingredients are eliminated from our products, or at the very least, allow us full disclosure so we as responsible consumers can make better choices. Now below, I will show you all the references to everything that we discussed. And don't forget to use the EWG.org or the SkinSafeProducts.com, the FDA.gov, other agencies you can look up that will help you in learning so that you can make better choices. And of course, I'm going to keep you updated on stuff like that too. I know getting your nails done is a really, it's addicting, especially if you've been doing it your whole life. I just want to warn you that if you're now dealing with an autoimmune deficiency, an autoimmune disease, or maybe asthma, or anything other than maybe normal allergies, maybe cut down on it or stop it altogether and see if that helps. See if that relieves some of the stressors on your body. Because I'll tell you what, I have 5 beautiful children, so far 14 wonderful grandchildren. I'm not ready to go yet, so I want to be here. And I don't want to be here being sick, not being able to enjoy them. I don't want to be the grandmother where everybody has to come to the house and tell them how great their day was because she was too sick to go enjoy it. So if it means cutting down or cutting out nail polish altogether so that I can live longer to enjoy it with my loved ones, then I'm willing to do that. So now you have all this information so that you can make better decisions on what's best for you and your family. God bless.